A month or so ago when I was here, we looked in the book of Acts, and tonight we're going to look at Romans chapter 16. A while ago, I did a series through the book of Romans, and as the theme for the book of Romans, I chose this theme, that everyone needs the righteousness of God. I took that as Paul's theme, that everyone needs the righteousness of God. We know the book of Romans spends a lot of time talking about God's righteousness and our need for that. And in chapter 1, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, both the Jews and also the Gentiles. And so there's our everyone. Everyone needs this gospel. Everyone needs the righteousness of God. And he takes us in chapter 1 and explains very clearly that the Gentiles need the righteousness of God. And then he gives us the most comprehensive list of sins in all of the New Testament. And he goes on and says, this is what sinful living looks like in the Gentile world. And then in chapter 2 he says, but you Jewish people are not without excuse either. And you who judge others for doing these things, you do the very same things yourself, even if they're only in your heart. And then we know Romans chapter 3. Everyone, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The standard of God's holiness, His perfection, and His righteousness. And so then Paul goes through, and we think of the book of Romans, and rightfully so, as a very intense treatment of the doctrine of salvation, this need of righteousness. And when we get to the end of chapter 11, Paul sort of changes gears and he begins to apply that. And he pleads with us to give our lives as a living sacrifice to him. But when we come to chapter 16, Paul does something very interesting. He introduces us to some of the people in the Church of Rome, and I look at this as Paul introducing us to some of the individuals who have received the righteousness of God. These people who have received the gospel, who have been born again. And he says in chapter 16 and verse 1, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Centuria, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. And it's interesting to me as you read through, he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila. We know them, fellow workers with Paul in his ministry. And who is part of this group of people? You can look at this, as I mentioned, as the individuals of the everyone who needs the righteousness and those who have received the righteousness of God. You could also look at this as a church photo, a snapshot of the people there in the church at Rome. And in this church snapshot, we see Roman names or Greek names. By the time you get to the verses 15 and 16, it looks like the pantheon of the Roman gods there, of Hermes and Olympus and some of these other obviously Roman people. We see names of Jewish people there. We see names of servants or slaves in this Roman culture. And we also see names of people who are part of Caesar's household and very likely even ruling as Caesar's very close advisors. And so Paul is showing us that the gospel that he's not ashamed of has had power to go and reach all levels of society. And I like this because to me it's very personal in the way God has been helping us to enter into His work in Vanuatu. When I go to the villages of South Santo and I sleep in Pastor Marcel's study, which is a little hut with a grass roof or a palm leaf roof and woven bamboo, split bamboo sides. I sleep on a cement floor, which is nice. Sometimes the floors are just dirt. But it's a cement floor, and I sleep on a mat under a mosquito net, and I listen to the rats run around me all night long, and I try to shine the torch on them to scare them away or leave a light on, but that seems to only bring more of them out. And so I don't sleep very well when I go to this village. So the next time you hear that I'm going to Pastor Marcel's, remember that, because it means I'm up. I have, though, recently invested in some earplugs, so I hope that that will help me not hear the rats so much as they run around me at night. The toilet there is just a hole dug in the ground with some coconut logs laid over the top of it, and a half a sheet of corrugated iron hanging in the front of the doorway. And I've found out that what you do when you hear people coming is you start to sing or just make some noise in the toilet so they know it's occupied, because they don't knock on a half sheet of corrugated iron. You want to make sure they know you're there before they get within view. And at night it's a bit easier because you can just turn your torch on and they see the glow of the light. But in the daytime, I finally figured it out, because as I was approaching one day, I heard someone do that and I said, ah, they're telling me it's occupied. So I learned very quickly that's what you do. And so in the ministry, we go from, yes, squatting over coconut logs to being in the capital and having much better toilet facilities, much more like what we're used to. Our home, as they will testify, those who have been there, is a very modern home. When we work in the university, we do work with people who are part of Caesar's household. Well, their moms and dads are members of parliament. One of the ladies in our Christian fellowship, young ladies, her dad was the chief justice in the Supreme Court in Fiji before the coup. And so he had to flee because of Bainimarama's coup. And now he's the chief justice in the Supreme Court in Vanuatu. That's her uncle. Her dad is a very prominent physician in Fiji. And she just trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior this last year. Her name is Julene. And it was very exciting because the Christian students have been reaching out to her over the last couple of years. And they've been sharing with Jane and myself, sharing with us how excited they are that Julene's been coming to our Friday night meeting. They meet with her to read scriptures with her, to pray with her throughout the week. She has questions for them. And it's exciting because the students are handling this themselves and they're giving her the Word of God. And then one Friday night, she got up in our testimony time, in our fellowship meeting, and she said, well, I'm not used to standing up in front of you. Most of you know me better from the pub where we drink together or have drunk together in the past, she said. But I just want you to know this last week something really exciting happened. Even though it was a tragedy, my mom was in a car accident in Fiji. And she rang me and told me that she was in the hospital. She said, I just freaked out. I was so worried and concerned. I wanted to jump on the next plane and head right back to Fiji. But I couldn't do that. And so normally I would just go and get a drink and try to drown my sorrows in alcohol. But for the first time ever in my life, I went back to my dorm room and I got out my Bibles and the Bible study notes from the night before that one of the students had been leading. And she said, I went over my notes. And the study that we had been doing that semester was from Jerry Bridges' book, Trusting God Even When Life Hurts. And she said, I really learned how to trust God as my Savior, as my Lord, even when life hurts. And we had the amazing privilege of discipling Julene, and the students discipled her and loved her to Christ and into discipleship. And she stayed with our family for about 10 days before we came over here, along with two other students. And Julene is growing like a weed. She's going to be part of the executive leadership in the Christian Fellowship this next year. And we're very, very excited. She wanted to be baptized. And when she talked to her family about it, they were very discouraging of that. But pray that she'll take baptism. I believe she will this next year and follow the Lord there obediently. And I'm also praying that she has had the opportunity to show her family what a Christian looks like, not just going through the rituals of the church, although baptism is not just a ritual, but to her family, it would be. And so we're really excited about her. And also Rose, that you saw in the slides there, her dad is the director for the World Trade Organization in the Asia-Pacific region and in Africa. So they live in Brussels, in Belgium. And Rose is very, very talented young lady. She will be getting ready to sit the bar exam in Fiji over the next 6 months. She's already started that training along with a lot of our other graduates. And then she will be going to Tonga to work there. So pray for Rose that she will take her newfound faith and live it out there. She trusted Christ as her Savior. She's been working on the student leadership for our Christian fellowship for the last couple of years. And she gave a testimony as her graduation testimony in our Christian fellowship. And she said, when I first came to the university, I thought the way to have a good time was to go out and party and to get drunk and to find a boyfriend. And she said, I learned that it's better to wait for God to bring you the right man into your life. And it's also a good time, the best time, is coming to Bible studies and teaching Sunday school. So what a dramatic change in her life over the 4 years that she spent there at the university. So the students at the university, they are scholarship students, sponsored by their governments. They all have very excellent English. All their classes are in English, so our ministry at the university is in English. There are 200 boarding students from 12 different countries. And about 50 or 60 of that number come to our Christian fellowship every Friday night. Many of them have been born again through the fellowship. Many of them are still seeking and searching. Some of them leave our Christian fellowship. A couple of the boys go down to the nightclub as cross-dressers. One of them got into a fight recently because he tried to kiss a male married student there at the university. So we wrestle with some very serious issues. Another one of the students came recently and talked to me about halfway through this last year and said, I have struggle with homosexuality. He said, but I just want God to have victory over this in my life. And he entered into a great accountability relationship. And I believe the Lord really helped him with that over the last few months of the school year. And he wants to continue doing discipleship studies in this new year. So we thank God that the students are very open about their sin, their struggles with it, their challenges, and they see. It's more like some of the nitty-gritty people that we read about here in this passage, going from Caesar's household to those who are servants, even though Jimmy's family are not really servants, but they don't have high positions, they're not wealthy, they're at the grassroots level. And God is doing a great work in Jimmy's family. A lot of them come to our English-speaking church, that's been their school background, and we've seen some growth. And some exciting things happen there. But we need prayer for knowing how to really confront this family with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of them hear it preached in church. They hear it through the Bible club. But there's a real need for their eyes to be opened. The great challenge in Vanuatu is nominal Christianity. Everybody says that they're a Christian. 96% of the country say that they're Christians. But many of them are really not born again. And then many of them also mix their old animistic beliefs, witchcraft and the witch doctor ideas, into their Christianity as well. And so we face some real challenges there. So as Paul shares these list of people, these names of people, I want you to look in chapter 15 what he said about this group of people. He said in chapter 15 in verse 14, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." And this we would ask you to pray for us, that God would help us to be able to give out His word, so that people will be full of goodness, filled with all the knowledge of God, and able also to admonish one another. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for all people, and everyone needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your church plays a vital role in this gospel going to everyone, to all people, to all levels of the social strata in Vanuatu. And we thank you so much for your financial support, for your prayer support. And we will do our best to keep you up to date with some of the individual and unique challenges that come along. So so that you can be faithfully and accurately praying for us. So thank you for this time this evening. I'll just hand it over to Pastor now.